Blog Talk Radio.
We welcome the night.
Oasis, a radio show where we discuss all the latest movies and news from the world of horror. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host, Ian. Ian, are you there?
I am.
How are you this week, sir? How are you after the day, or technically 2 days after Halloween, but the day after Halloween, how are you?
Good.
That is great to hear. It is rather cold now, but yeah, sadly, Halloween... is behind us. October is gone, but I thought it was for the show. I thought it was a fun month. I thought we did a lot of cool stuff pertaining to reviews and everything. So I'm interested in seeing what the next couple, well, what this month may bring, because we're already starting it off with I think a high note with an indie offering. So we're going to be reviewing that a little bit later on, and of course we have. One film that came out of nowhere, technically not really. I kind of like, early on, I was like, what's this movie coming out in, you know, October? Like, it was kept getting pushed back and different dates. I thought it was like August and then September and then finally October. But, yeah, Countdown, a movie came out called Countdown. So I had to go see that instead of The Lighthouse, which never showed anywhere near me. So... that sucked, and I could have watched it online, but the copy was horrendous, and I didn't want to ruin my experience of the movie watching it with out of focus and bad audio, and it wouldn't have been a good experience, and I don't want to ruin my enjoyment of that film, you know, whatever it might be, to a subpar, you know, theater rip, you know?
Yeah.
So, because with The Witch, you know, it was an experience that you had to be in there and as the atmosphere, and then the copy online is, like, full of ads, and that stupid pinata thing comes down, and it's weird, and you know, I'm not going to ruin it. So I decided I'll wait. So hopefully it'll... get a wider release, because for some fucking reason it didn't get released anywhere near me. Yeah, not even down towards Lexington, man. It was like, where the fuck is this movie showing?
I had like three theaters that played it.
And lucky you, bastard. No, I'm kidding.
I might go see it Tuesday.
Yeah, hopefully they'll get a wider release, but no, not this week anyway, because we got a Terminator. But nonetheless, little tirade there before the fucking main review here, and that's Countdown. Oh God. Okay, so Countdown. Like, the trailer came out, you know, like, okay, whatever. It looks stupid, and God. Okay, so Countdown is a film about a killer app. So these people start downloading it. And it has a countdown clock or a timer to the exact date that you will die. Some have years, some have days. And so we are introduced to, well, the beginning of the film, you know, kind of starts with the whole, there's this skinny app, like Countdown to Skinny, and like they download it to try to, you know, like to keep their weight, you know, the skinny weight and everything like that. And they download a different app called Countdown from when you're going to die. And so they go about it and they think nothing of it. Oh, it's this, it's that. And then things start to happen and, you know, some people die. And then we're introduced to our main character of Quinn, who is this soon-to-be nurse. Well, and technically she does get to be a nurse within the first beginning of the movie. So she becomes an RN, and she's going about her day, and then she finds the boyfriend of the girlfriend from the beginning scene who died, who tells Quinn about the Countdown app and that he downloaded it after she died, I believe. And so now he's going into surgery for some reason because he had a car crash because he crashed into the tree. And where his girlfriend was supposed to be in the passenger seat, there was a tree branch that goes through the seat. So she was supposed to die in the crash. And he was drinking and everything, and she was supposed to die. And she doesn't. And so he downloads the app saying, you know, like saying to her, like, she was supposed to die and she got out of the car. And if it wasn't for me, you know, she'd still be alive or something like, you know, she still died. And so Quinn's like, you know, whatever, you know, nothing's going to happen. And so he goes about trying to avoid his surgery, and he gets killed. He gets knocked down the steps and breaks his neck, a lot of neck breaking. And so she decides, whatever, she downloads the app as well, and she has a couple days to live. And she goes back, she sees her sister and her father, her mother's dead, because something happened to her mother. And this movie, honestly, this movie's very, very forgettable, to tell you the truth. I'm having a hard time trying to put this one back together because it's very boring and slow and nothing really happens in the film. I'm trying to go through this. So she downloads the app, things start happening, you know, she changes plans, and then she starts getting chased, or she sees visions of her dead mother and like the shadowy figure stalking her, and she doesn't know what it is, and she's like thinking, okay, maybe I can change the phone, delete the app. You can't delete the app. And then she has to go to another person to get a new phone. The app comes on there, and then she meets up with Matt, who becomes a potential love interest out of the blue, and then they have to go see a priest, you know, and then they see another priest that's more renowned in demons and everything, and then we get the backstory of what the actual thing is. And this movie it's not very good. It is very cliched and very boring, and just a lot of stuff that's just blah. The only thing I can really say about the movie is that when they go to the characters that's supposed to know stuff, you know, they're not the average characters, because you got the one phone guy who can hack the phones. He's like this sort of smart aleck, you know, prick in a way, because he works at a phone store, so he has to talk back. So he has like all these quips and one-liners, and he's not like, you know, again, the average person. And then the priest, who knows about the demons and everything like that, he's like, you know, he's like smoking weed and listening to rap music, and he has like all these comics and graphic novels, and he knows about demons. He's like all, you know, sort of hip in a way. So it's not like the, you know, slow and boring, you know, characters of know everything or knows how to deal with shit. So that's yeah. Like the one thing I can, you know, like give a props for trying something different. And then the demon entity shadowy figure, once it gets revealed, it's a great, it's, it looks, I like the look of it, and it's a good creature, well, you know, entity demon wasted in a poor movie. They could have done that so much better. Hopefully they could have, in a different setting, in a different type of movie, instead of that, of what you get in Countdown, because it's just nothing, you know, because later on in the film, it's basically Quinn is, like, trying to save her sister because her sister downloaded the app as well. So she's, like, 3 minutes, she dies 3 minutes before Quinn does, so she's trying to do all this stuff. And then that's when they hack the phone and add more time, more years, and then it doesn't work. And so it's just like one thing after another. And then, like, again, a finale that just kind of goes nowhere. And they introduce this sexual assault thing with the doctor who's, you know, like, oh, I put my best foot forward to get you, you know, working here. Maybe you can do a little handiwork in my office stuff type, you know, sexual allegations, all that stuff. So they add that to it, you know, and like that's like the central, that's the big finale, is really her versus the doctor on sexual assault charges in a sense. And he's like going through there like, I don't know what's going on. And then, you know, the demon's like tossing him around and she's trying to kill the demon, trying to kill him. It's not very good. It's not a very good movie. It's forgettable. The characters, the writing is just god awful too. It's like some of the, besides like maybe the priest, but it's like very central dialogue in a sense, like, yeah. Oh, we need to do this. It's like there's this ancient lore about this prince, or the king sends his prince to go this way, and he goes to see this gypsy woman or something. The thing is, like, some kind of gypsy woman or witch or whatever, and she, you know, does the whole spiel about dying, and then they change the date and he doesn't die, but then he, you know, it's a demon who plays and toys with you. Like, there's parts in the movie that, like, work. There's a scene with Matt who's in the bathroom and, like, he has a thing about this history about his little brother, and there's one scene where, like, you can see the feet. It's not really anything new, but like it's walking through the bathroom stalls, the toilet stalls, through each of the walls. You just see the feet walking, you know, the toilets, and he's walking. And then there's a cool scene that involves the feet. And then, like, again, the look of the demon entity, the, you know, shadowy figure. I like the look of it, and as I said before, it should have been in a different movie and been more of a threat, because towards the end of it, it just, they kind of sequel bait you too. I'm not sure if that's going to happen or not. I actually don't know how much this movie made, because I didn't look it up and I didn't really want to. I guess it did okay, maybe not, because it's one of those movies that no one's really even heard of.
I haven't heard anything about it.
Yeah. And it's just not really that good. You know, I just left, you know, like, it's not like, you know, it's not something like Wish Upon or Bye Bye Man where it's like, oh my god, it's just there, you know. It's like, so it's, the plot's stupid, and then the finale's even stupider, honestly. And it could have been better, I will say that. I mean, if they just worked out a few nicks here and there and didn't rely on, like, even the jump scares, I mean, I think there's jump scares in it. It didn't do anything for me anyway, but I'm assuming if, you know, you don't see, if you like the PG-13 jump scare stuff, I mean, it's there, I think. But it's not, you know, all that great. I mean, like, it's a jump scare when, like, when the demon pulls somebody away or jacks up, or, you know, there's the brother in the bathroom. There's a jump scare there. Towards the end, I guess. But yeah, it's forgettable. It's bland. It's boring. There's not really nothing going on. I mean, some of the comedy in it from the phone guy and the priest is there. Then they do the stupid get into the circle, and then they get lured out of the circle stuff with the, it's like sort of like Devil Rides Out in the third act where they're all in the circle. And then they did that in, like, The Midnight Man, the one that just came out with Lin Shaye. Like, they all had to put, like, the blood, like, the salt circle around them, and, like, the Midnight Man tries to lure them out. And, like, that's exactly what this thing does as well. Lures them out. So it's cliched there. But, yeah, nothing really you have to rush out to see. But I will give it props for, like, the look of the demon, the entity thing. It looked cool because it's like, you know, this shadowy figure has like this, it has horns coming out like the back of its head. And then it has like this, like sort of this mesh over its face. It looked really cool. And of course it's like all in black and everything. So that's like the one thing that stood out. I mean, like I said, it could have been handled so much better and, in a different movie or by a different director, and besides making a lame PG-13 horror film, they could have done something with that demon. And it's just, I don't know, it doesn't really do anything. It's by the numbers, you know. It doesn't really try anything new. I mean, it has two, maybe three okay things about it, which is the bathroom stall scene, and then the demon, and then maybe just the way that the characters that you know stuff are handled differently than just regular creepy people. Because usually when you go there, it's like creepy people to get killed, you know. And this one, it's not really that way, even though I don't want to give too much away because it's still like they're not creepy. They're just, you know, comic relief in a weird way that the film wanted to portray them as. So, like, that's the only three things that come out of this movie. There's hardly, you know, like, again, it's like neck snapping against things, nothing really, like they try to do like a Final Destination type thing with like the deaths, but that doesn't really work all that well. And, it wasn't good. I just walked out like, whatever. It was just something I watched. I mean, again, there's just those three things are really the only things that stand out. Nothing you have to go out and see anytime soon. And I hate myself for seeing this instead of The Lighthouse, but it's not my it's not my fault.
Was it better than Fear.com?
Fear.com's better. I like Fear.com. It's not that bad.
Yeah. It's been a long time since I watched that movie.
Yeah. But yeah, that's my thoughts on Countdown. Ian, what's your take on it? I mean, I don't think there's really that much.
It sounds like I'm glad I missed it.
Mm-hmm.
But no, like, I guess I'm just curious of what the next movie's going to be. Like, are they going to do memes next in like 4 or 5 years? Like,
well, there's already a horror movie about a killer drone, and there's, which they do the whole fucking Child's Play, but they do it with a drone, and it's dumb as shit. Then they have, like, it's not the first movie about a killer app either. There's, like, another one called, like, Bedeviled, which does something like that, but it's, like, household stuff. It's, like, house controls. So it's, like, killer apps. Like, everything's the same. I mean, they just recycle it and do it in a different way, and, like, I don't know. That's not that good.
Yeah. And just,
I mean, they'll come up with anything. I mean, there's... Go ahead, Ian.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I was about to literally say, you know, those exact... That's like, you know, I don't understand it. Like, some of these ideas that they come up with, especially, like, you know, unoriginal ideas...
Like, this should have been something that came out when apps just started, not 2019. This should have been something around, like, 2014 or something like that. This is one of those early ones. Like, this shouldn't be now. You know, it's too late. It's like that stupid emoji movie, you know, where it's like, why is there an emoji movie now? You know, when, like, emojis were big, like, 3 years ago, or, like, Angry Bird. You know, I'm going, like... children's movies, but it's like the same thing. Like, they're always off the mark when it comes to things, nonetheless. And it's just like one of those movies where it felt like it should have been around the same year like Unfriended came out, but you can't really do anything with that and this and I don't know. It just feels weird. You know, it doesn't even really feel like it needed to be in a theater either. It felt like the same direct to DVD crap that comes out. Like, you know, like this has no reason to be in a theater. I didn't need to pay $7 to see this.
Right, that's, you know, and we...
Well, $5.
We get...
you get my meaning.
You know, The Lighthouse gets put into a limited release, and that gets promoted like crazy.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
Yep.
Oh.
And you get this one that has hardly nothing, and it's in my area. Like, oh, Jesus. Here, thank you. Thank you, whoever you are running these theater chains around here. Like, you can't fucking show The Lighthouse. I'm like, I mean, you showed The Witch, no problem. You showed 31, you know, you showed Lords of Salem and all the Rob Zombie stuff and Jeepers Creepers 3, but you can't show The fucking Lighthouse. I'm like, come on. No, Jesus. Like, I have to go out of my way to see fucking The Bye Bye Man. And then fucking Unfriended Dark Web. And like, no, you can't fucking see a lighthouse. Like, give me a fucking bone. You know? But I'm going on. It's just, it's crap. It's not good. Leave it at that. It's bland. It's unoriginal. Three things going for it, as I mentioned already. Nothing really to go out and see, so I wouldn't suggest it. But again, I wish he could have used that demon in a different fucking movie. It worked so well. If he did like a little bit more, you know, he had a good like sort of creepy vibe to him because like he's always in the background or you're looking for him or like he's in like the rear, you know, he's like, what's that? The backup sensor on the car, you know, you have like the little GPS screen. He's like there and he's not there. And so he does well. I mean, it just should have been a different movie and done so much more effectively. Sort of like The Midnight Man, the one with Lin Chay. How they do that one. But yeah, I don't have anything else to say, and we need to get into our next film. Any final things on Countdown Again?
No.
All right. So, with that said, we have ourselves an indie horror spotlight, and I got in contact with, I believe, the director, Nate. And I said, hey, we, you know, again, did the whole, like, we'd be interested in having your, you know, review your film. And he provided us a screener. And it is available, I believe it's available on DVD. They had a small Blu-ray run, but they just released DVDs here, like, the other day, actually. So if you're interested, you know, all the links in the description of this show page. But anyway. It's called The Sidling Hill. Now this is, okay. So it's about Adam, and Adam is, okay. So let me try to figure this one out. So Adam is going through a bad marriage, I believe, or going through something. He's a Army war vet, and something bad happened to him when he was overseas or deployed. And he is going with Harry comes over with his daughter Allie, and they decide to go to these abandoned turnpike tunnels that are supposedly haunted. And there's like this big back, you know, history of the tunnels of like it's a two-lane roadway and there's a lot of accidents happening and people died in the tunnels and like they just done away with them and like didn't do anything to them in the 60s. And it's in, I believe, well, the film was shot in Pennsylvania, but I don't know if they exactly say if it was in Pennsylvania. So the go there. And it's a long trek to get to the tunnels, because the movie is about, it's 2 hours. It's a 2-hour movie. And the one thing I can say is that it didn't really need to be 2 hours. I mean, I understand what he was going for because I'm pretty sure he's a fan of, like, Euro Italian horror, a lot of, you know, like Fulci and stuff like that. So he wanted to do, like, those long takes because I can see the one with, like, the shots on the road, driving down the road and turning it upside down. I can see that being, like, from, like, the Beyond and all that stuff. So I know he's trying to go for, like, a moody, atmospheric sort of tone vibe to it and being, like, a little, you know, weird here and there. And I don't have any problems with that. You know, and, you know, like, some of the characters, like, when they pull off to the side of the road asking for directions and there's all the rednecks, like, you know, in a deer pit in garbage poking them and one guy's eating the deer meat. And then, like, Adam just sort of goes crazy and, like, over just asking for directions. And it's a little, you know, a little uneven in the way that was portrayed. But anyway, they go to these tunnels after, you know, you finally get to the tunnels. And he starts having these spasms in a sense because he's in the tunnels. It's nothing but red because of the flares, and I don't think the flashlights were working. So he's kind of getting lost and disoriented in the tunnels because it's like a 2-mile tunnel, and it's always, it's, you know, constantly dark, and he's walking and he can't find his way out, and he starts seeing parts of his past come back to kind of haunt him. And he's starting to see things, and that's technically the movie, in a, you know, without giving too much away, because it is technically a new film, and I don't want to give too much away because it's one of those that I have to let you form your own opinion on, if you watch it. But overall, like I said, it could have been trimmed down. That first 30 some minutes or 40 minutes, you know, leading up to the tunnel, there was parts that I just felt could, you know, like I said, could have been trimmed down. Like when they first stop off to the fairy tale land exhibit, you know, the woods, I felt like that really didn't add too much to what was going on. I mean, I understand, like, that kind of starts off his awakening in a sense. That he, you know, because he says that, but you could have, you know, brought that up without the long shots. Again, then the redneck stuff with all the people acting, you know, crazy over just asking directions and why you want to go to that tunnel. That was a little sort of over the top. You could have turned that down a couple minutes, you know, instead of the elongated scenes. The elongated, elapsed walking to the tunnels could have been trimmed down a little bit. Because seeing some, you know,
and through it,
yeah, you know, yeah. So that's a little, you know, like, again, just a few things here and there. I know he was going for atmosphere and all that, but you can only take so much. I mean, it's not really, again, it's only a couple minutes, you know, but it could have been, you know, at least 140 instead of like 135, 140. I thought would have been a good sweet spot.
Yeah.
And but it just kept going. And, again, a lot of stuff that just doesn't really do nothing. It's just there for atmosphere and just, like, again, the psychological torture that Adam's going through with his past and everything that's going on in the tunnels. And it is bloody. I did forget. The blood is a decent aspect of everything as well. Good practical effects. Again, just a lot of blood. There's a good practical effect later on. Well, pretty early, too, with, like, a head exploding and another thing that happens with the head. A lot of stabbings and just a lot of just blood gushing. So I'll give them that. But, you know, it's just – it's a long, long haul just to get to where you kind of already know where it's going. Because, like, I was sitting there, like, okay, so what's this, you know, because I was expecting, you know, sort of, you know, atmosphere, you know, sort of sort of gory, but I didn't know the gist of everything yet. And then once the film started going a little bit, I kind of put two and two together and kind of realized, well, so it's this. And it goes exactly that way. Not that that's bad or anything. I mean, most films are like that. I kind of just expected like a little bit more. I guess might be his first feature. So it's a lot, you know, it's a big undertaking if it is. But it is just a lot of, you know, long shots. And just like, again, a lot of, you know, tunnel lights. And like they said, okay, we have these flares. Let's run down this tunnel. It'll be a cool shot. So it's just like, again, a lot of shots that probably in his head was like, let's do that. It'd be awesome. And, you know, like not saying anything bad or anything. I'm just saying like, you know, just like there's a lot of things that could have been trimmed, a lot of stuff that doesn't really add to the central story. I mean, there's been other films that's been exactly like this, where that happens to a person, and that, you know, and that's the outcome. So it's not terrible or anything, but it is just, it's a little bit of a long set for the same payoff that you've seen before done in a short setting. Except for it is a little bit more bloodier. It's a lot more bloodier, a lot more, you know, violent in some scenes. And there's like some things that just like between like the dialogue is like, again, repeated over and over again, which like I said, like that could have been trimmed a lot. You didn't need to have like, why you want to go there for? Why you want to go there for? Why do you want to go to the tunnels? You don't need to go to the tunnels. Like, you know, that's a little monotonous sometimes. But it's still an okay, you know, watch for some parts. But it's not, you know, there's definitely something there. And again, if this is his first feature, you know, he can definitely work on it to, you know, because I know what he's trying to go for. I do. You know, but there's just, again, there's parts of it that just, like, again, it could have hit that same mark, too, if just tightened a little bit and made that sweet, you know, just that sweet setting of a good time and not sort of elongate it. So, again, Ian, what's your thoughts?
Well, I definitely felt the movie was dragged out in quite a few places. There was a lot of decent gore. And honestly, I liked the way the movie itself looked. Like,
yeah.
They used a really nice camera. The sound was pretty decent. The audio and all that. I think there was a couple of times when it was the redneck lady was talking, and it sounded like she was in a tunnel herself. I don't know if that was intentional. That's some kind of like, I don't know, but.
And then the dialogue with Adam talking about his war past is a little bit hard to hear as well. There's a lot of echo.
Yeah, those. I don't know if they were trying to do that kind of effect with that kind of stuff, but it definitely was. I had to constantly turn the volume up and down on my television just so I could, you know, hear some parts. And then it got really loud, and I had to turn it down because my wife's asleep. But yeah, no, like, it wasn't a bad watch. Just honestly, I think it could have been just like you said, like a minute and a half to a minute and 45. Because I don't know, I liked the where they were going with it. I liked the, you know, tortured soul aspect of that. You know, I guess PTSD. And, you know, the effects of war and all that.
Yeah. And the tunnel looked cool. I mean, and plus, you know, the flares in the tunnel, I mean, it looked all right. I mean, they were trying to make it for atmosphere, and it's just, again, just a guy, like you said, in this, you know, the psychological aspect of just this guy, you know, just doesn't know what's happening. And, you know, there was a lot of that, too, and like three times in, like, 5 minutes. It's these tunnels. You're right. You're correct. The stories you said were right. It was like that got a little old, and you didn't need to repeat the same thing over and over when it came to that. Like, we kind of, you know, it's one of those, is like, it's implied. Like, okay, the tunnels are bad. You don't need to repeat it to Harry there, you know.
And killing the same people over and over again also kind of got annoying.
Well, not really. I kind of got that aspect. I kind of didn't mind that one because it's just, you know, it's the people that he knows, you know. So it's like the people you know, the demons forming, and you know, the whatever's in this haunted turnpike. Even if it is haunted, you know, it's one of those where, who knows. I didn't mean to cut you off there, Ian.
Oh, you're fine. I was kind of confused a little bit at the end, because I thought, you know, I can't really talk about it too much cause without giving the whole ending away, so really won't, but it just kind of, I don't know if I just missed something, because I was,
I think I know what you're talking about. It was with Harry and that whole scene. I think I know what you're talking about, because there is one scene where, like, he's walking through there, and he's like, hello, and he finds something, and then, you know, our big finale happens of something gets revealed. That one kind of like, okay, so what, it doesn't affect him until now, and then that happens, and then I know what you're talking about towards the ending, too. There's a lot of, it's, like I said, it's not the most balanced film. Like, the idea is there, and like I said, it was probably a massive undertaking. Again, if this is his first feature, I don't know that. I'm just, you know, throwing that out there until I know for sure. I should have done a little bit more research, and I apologize. But I'm pretty sure that might have been his first big, you know, length feature. And there's just, like, again, it probably got, again, I don't know if the, I'm sure the script was there, but I'm sure a lot of it was kind of hit or miss with, like, the structure of the story. And so some things kind of might have got lost in the telling and all that, all that stuff. But, you know, you can see where he was going, and I have to applaud him for that, because it is, you know, it's an interesting take on, you know, something that's been done before. I like the setting of the tunnel. And some things just kind of, it was hit or miss with, like, him going back, you know, him going back and forth trying to leave the tunnel, but he's just going side to side to the tunnel walls and not out. And then just, like they decided to stay there too. That's another thing. It's like, okay, so they're just going in there and they were going to sleep in the tunnel overnight or something. I don't know. I thought they were just going to visit and then leave. I don't know. There's just, again, a lot of things that just kind of, you know, and plus you probably couldn't make out either because of the audio wasn't the best captured because of the tunnel echo. But anyway, Ian, go on for what else you had to say.
I mean, you know, it's just, like you were saying, you know, the idea was definitely there. There was some parts that just kind of, you know, it was just kind of like, okay, so, like, it just, like you said, unbalanced. It was just kind of not really, it's just a couple of parts didn't kind of make sense, and I wonder if it was just because of, you know, if they took a while to shoot it, you know, they probably had better ideas or change, you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they mentioned that in the credits too, because I think they started in like 2016 or 2015, and then they kept shooting on and off. So it was a long undertaking, I think, to film it as well. So that could be a case as well where it just comes off, you know, that's over the span of time gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. And that's why it kind of, it felt like, I mean, for, if it's, I didn't get a chance to read the, all the ending credits because I started it right before the show, like right when the credits came on, you messaged me live, so I was like, oh shit, didn't even pay attention to the time. But yeah, no, so I like when, you know, directors can keep their movie, you know, fairly, you know, cohesive over time and wasn't, you know, it didn't feel like it was that long.
Yeah, it was like like Luke Ramer, like The Taxidermist, you know, because I think that was like a span of a couple of years as well, and it was just,
yeah,
that one works, you know, how that one, you know, when we had him on and reviewed it. So, you know, it works and it doesn't work. And this one, like I said, it has everything there. And it just, the runtime is a little bit kind of much, even though I know what he was going for. I know he wanted to go for the atmosphere,
right,
and that sort of Italian sort of horror. And he does the same thing with, like, the music. The music was, you know, the Italian-European vibe style of music. So I know what he was going for, and I kind of did expect a little bit more from the overall story, because I was expecting, you know, like, you know, the Sidling Hill, what's this about? And then you read it, you know, like, okay, that sounds interesting. And then just, like, again, the end result was, you know, like, you don't really know what to expect. And, like, that one, you know, this one, like, okay, I know what, you know, again, like I said, I know what they were going for. I appreciate what they were going for. And hopefully, you know, they're able to take, you know, their, you know, the issues that they had, or, you know, comments that we're making, maybe, you know, use it to their advantage for their next film. And again, like, I know what he's going for. I mean, I appreciate it. And I do want to see more, because if he keeps up with the style, because again, like the camera, everything was shot good. Like you said, the camera was good. I liked the sort of,
yeah,
the mood and the atmosphere of the tunnel, the look of the tunnel. And like, he has like scenes that were like, looked good. And then like,
oh, yeah,
the practical effects were good. Like, so there's like scenes there that are really good. And the music choices and all that stuff. And it just needed to be, you know, like I said, just tighten it up a little bit. And a lot of stuff could have been shaved off, you know, a couple seconds here, a minute there. You know, some of the repeat dialogue could have been shaved off. And it could have been, you know, more impactful, because, again, there's just, like, again, a lot of walking, a lot of tunnel walking, and a lot of elapsed time, you know, like, repeated dialogue and just stuff that should have been, you know, like, we don't really need this in there. And it could have hit the same result maybe, you know, in a you know, sweeter time. But I didn't, like I said, it wasn't terrible. I mean, I did like it, and there's parts of it that, you know, I am looking forward to seeing what he does next.
Yeah, me too.
So, and I, you know, and again, they do practical effects, so, you know, it is a, you know, bloody and gory when it needs to be, and I kind of, you know, hoping to, you know, if he does do the Italian European vibe, you know, if he does, because now we have this one with like psychological sort of horror, you know, maybe if he does like a Giallo or a zombie film or just something like that, or a slasher movie, or just a monster movie, you know, whatever it might be, I think the effects he has are there, and it'll work good, because it's really well done effects. And I, you know, like I said, I'm interested in see what he does next. So that is The Sidling Hill by Nathan Hine, from Hardcore Core Productions. Again, all their information is on the description of this video and on our Facebook page. You can go there, or you can go to the Sidling Hill Facebook page if you don't want to do that. And again, like I said, you can get your own copy. I think they're $15 each. And, you know, make your own opinion of it.
Yeah.
You know, we're just giving ours. Ian, any final words?
Ooh, everybody's getting kicked off.
I think that's it. I think I've pretty much, you know, said everything I, without, you know, giving any more spoilers.
All right. Well, that's going to do it, and not sure what's going to happen next week, but we'll do that next time. So thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.